It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, our guest shares the truth about animals and clears up some misconceptions about sloths, eels, and other wild and wacky creatures. First, the fire at the Husky Energy Refinery in Superior just over a week ago injured at least 20 people and led to evacuations in the area. Now city residents are trying to get back to normal, but there are still questions about health risks in Superior and safety at the refinery itself. Danielle Kading is a reporter for WPR in Superior. Danny, welcome back.
Hi, Rob.
Well, one concern that you wrote about, Danny, is the risk of possible soil contamination. Who's raising this concern? What are they worried about?
Well, a local professor here at the University of Minnesota Duluth, an associate professor of chemical engineering, Steve Sternberg, has said that he would limit contact with soil to avoid any long-term health problems related with the refinery fires and explosions, because he says that smoke produced partially burned fuels that contain chemicals called polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, or PAHs. Basically, it's a group of chemicals that are released from things like burning fuels. And he says that all that stuff that went up into the air had to settle somewhere, and that's likely on the ground downwind from the area that was evacuated. So he's kind of saying that people might want to take extra precautions if they're downwind from the refinery, even though it's nothing bad if you're limiting your exposure to it.
And you talked to Jane Anklam, who's with Douglas County UW Extension. Here's a bit of what she had to say about these concerns.
The information that we have from the testing is saying that, yes, indeed, you know, there's been some fallout. It's not fallout enough to change your gardening, you know, to stop gardening or to stop eating fresh local food.
So what's going on, Danny? She mentioned testing there. Is there talk about testing people's garden soil, that sort of thing?
Well, initially they were looking into that. They were looking for some licensed labs that could do things like petrochemical testing. But they say they're not recommending any sort of testing of the soil because it's expensive, for one, for people to go out and get these kind of tests done. And, you know, there are so many different compounds that it's hard to test for whatever might be there. So it's not something that they're advising, and they don't think it's that big of a threat, you know, that people would have to take it to that level. Basically, what Jane is advising people to do is, if they live closer to the refinery and might have been downwind, then just if they plan to have a garden or work with the soil, use gloves, clean your coveralls and your gardening tools. And, you know, people really don't have to worry, she says, because plants don't normally absorb these compounds or chemicals from the soil. But people should clean or wash any vegetables before they eat them.
Do you get a sense that there is concern from some local residents despite those reassuring words?
Yeah, you know, when I talk to folks at UW Extension, they've been getting a lot of calls about it since this professor came out and said, hey, you might want to take some steps to, you know, protect yourself or your family members. And so people are basically calling them wondering, you know, is it okay for me to have a garden? Can I grow stuff this summer? Because people, you know, it's not something that usually happens up here. We live in an industrial area, but, you know, everyone wants to make sure that the soil, the water, and the air is safe. And so they're trying to answer those questions. And, you know, just on my lunch break, I saw people planting around the university today. So, you know, they're saying that that's not something that they should be worried about.
Talking to Danielle Kading, WPR reporter in Superior, looking at some of the different aftermaths of the refinery explosion and fire there about 10 days ago. And Danny, both the mayors of Superior and Duluth now have called on the company, on Husky, to stop using this hydrogen fluoride, a toxic chemical. People were worried about a hydrogen fluoride tank there as this fire went on. What has the company responded?
Well, the company hasn't made any commitments to shift away from hydrogen fluoride right now. They have said basically that they're going to explore different options for the refinery structure as they rebuild, but they're not saying whether or not they would shift from that. And there was a report, I believe it was like 2011 report from the Center for Public Integrity, that said that cost for them to shift to any other type of chemical at the refinery could be somewhere in the ballpark between $50 and $150 million. So it's not a cheap option.
And last Friday, Congressman Sean Duffy, who represents the area, addressed the question of whether public funds should go to helping the company make this switch. Here's what he had to say.
This is a for-profit company. I don't know that the taxpayers across America should cover the cost of those transitions. I think if it's an appropriate move, they should make the decision and should bear the cost of that transition.
And Danny, as you're just saying, it's not a done deal that they want to make this switch anyway. Is anybody raising the issue of public money going into making the switch at the refinery?
You know, that question was raised by a reporter. I think people are asking the question about funding because they know that it would be expensive and are wondering whether or not the company would foot the bill if they were to, you know, pursue that option to shift to another type of chemical. And obviously people are really concerned about the use of this chemical as they've learned more about it, because only about a third of refineries nationwide use this chemical. Others use things like sulfuric acid or ionic catalysts to make high-octane gasoline. So, you know, the mayors here in Duluth and Superior made themselves clear that they'd like to see that ended and like to see the company examine other options and how much that would cost. And so I think that's why that question came up, because people are wondering if they can make it happen.
And now some people are making claims, filing claims with Husky, talking about the damages that they incurred. What kind of claims are we seeing here against the company?
Well, as of this morning, there are just under 1,500 claims that have been submitted. And most of those claims have to do with things like, you know, costs related to the evacuation, followed by lost income. Husky Energy's spokeswoman Kim Guttormson says that very few of those have to do with anything involving injury.
And there are some medical claims. I understand that the company is requiring a release before agreeing on any kind of settlement. Do you know anything about the progress of those few injury or medical claims?
Well, if people are going to pursue a bodily injury claim, they would be required to sign a waiver, as you've said. And in that case, they would have to do a medical release form, which would be standard procedure according to the company. But that would only happen once a settlement had been reached with that person. So, you know, I'm not certain whether anything new has come out with that.
And Danny, when we talked last, there was you had said that there's going to be a long stretch, it looks like, of study here looking at what happened to the factory and, of course, a long cleanup. Can you talk about the state of affairs at the refinery itself now?
Well, the refinery right now, I mean, there's a lot of work being done to gather and collect evidence by the Chemical Safety Board. They're looking into how this explosion occurred at the refinery. They're going to be doing what's called a metallurgical analysis, or they're going to be looking at metals in what's called a fluid catalytic cracking unit, because that's where the initial explosion occurred. So they're going to look at the metals related to that unit to see if there were any cracks or fatigue that may have resulted in its failure and caused the problems there. So that's one thing. They're requesting documents from management. They're collecting interviews from employees and photos. I was going to follow up with the agency to see if they have been able to actually enter the refinery, which was something that they were not able to do yet last week because of stability concerns of all the damage that had, you know, resulted from the explosions and fires. And then, of course, they're going to have OSHA investigating worker safety there. And the OSHA investigation could take the next 6 months, and it could be two or three times as long for the Chemical Safety Board's investigation to wrap up.
Danny, thanks a lot for bringing us up to date.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Danielle Kading, reporter for WPR in Superior. She was with us to talk about the aftermath of the Husky Energy fire in Superior.